Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a Truebolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes, on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at
Menards. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, July 18th, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I'm DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. We've got a big show lined up for you guys tonight. We're doing not one, but two watch-longs. That's right, about once a month now we're trying to do these watch-longs. We've got two awesome bangers picked out for you guys tonight. We're going to try to gross Jason out a little bit, but we're also going to try and have some fun here. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I always do, starting with the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer. He's Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's it going, man?
Oh, I'm wonderful. And in getting ready for this, I was watching the hype video before, and, you know, although it is in black and white, you know, there's a wonderful photo of their video of Stone Cold Steve Austin with a red mask, and we got the Hell in a Cell lowering and all this stuff, and I'm real excited for what my friends are going to inflict on me today.
As Jason foreshadows the match that we're going to watch, let's kick it over to the Minister of Truth, the Father of Faction Figures, the Deacon of Data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel from the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
All right. Yeah, we are. We have a good one lined up here. We are going all the way back. We're jumping back in the DeLorean, going back to the year 2000. It is Armageddon 2000, six-man Hell in the Cell for the WWF. That's right. We are at the height of the Attitude Era. We haven't gotten the F out yet. The WWF World Heavyweight Championship, currently held by none other than Kurt Angle, Olympic gold hero. Gold medal hero. The challengers, The Undertaker, Cactus Jack, Rikishi, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Triple H, all going up in this brutal, brutal Hell in the Cell match. If you want to watch this one along with us, you can get yourselves up there on the Peacock. You're going to pull up Armageddon under the WWF Premium Live Event tab. It is Season 2, Episode 1, Armageddon from 2000. The timestamp is 2 hours, 1 minute, and 30 seconds. If you need to pause the podcast here and get that set up, go ahead and do so. Otherwise, DJ, gentlemen, yes.
Could you indulge me with one further description? Where are some of the – well, some of the people in that match that you mentioned have moved around a lot in their career. Where are we with Triple H and, like, Undertaker? Are we talking the game, Triple H? Are we –
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He has just about transitioned into the game. He's blossomed into what's going to become the game, because I believe during this time, Sean was injured. Rob, please correct me if I'm wrong. Sean was injured, and Triple H kind of took over DX at this point, didn't he?
Yeah, so that was – so he had taken it over – it had been a couple of years since he did that.
Yeah.
And then he eventually broke away from that. You know, they kind of split up and all. And so he was at this point he was with Stephanie, I think.
And he was feuding with Cactus Jack largely at this point, wasn't he?
This was after that.
Haven't gone back and watched this era in so long, so my memory of it is a little cloudy. But he has fully evolved into Triple H at this point.
And this was the year when the Monday Night Wars, they weren't officially over, but this is the year basically that settled it, because they, well, in 99, they pulled ahead and stayed ahead, but then 2000 was the year where, like, the wrestling got good.
Yeah. WWE was fully in its bag creatively, work rate wise. You had, I believe at this point, we probably, have we had the Dudleys, Edge and Christian and the Hardys in at this point yet, Rob?
Yeah, they were there, and that's when Benoit and Eddie had come over, and Jericho was at his peak.
Yeah.
That point. So, so you had, and then, you know, The Rock had hit his, you know, hit his level as a babyface. So you had all, imagine, so they had, I mean, at this point, yeah, I mean, Foley was out, he'd retired, but you had Rock, Triple H, Austin had come back by this point in the year. You had The Undertaker, and then you had Jericho and Benoit and Eddie and Edge and Christian and Dudleys and the Hardys. And like all of these people were like way over, man.
Yeah. And I do have to stand corrected. Cactus Jack is not in this. It is The Rock. I made a mistake.
Yeah. So
yeah, sorry. That's on me.
No, which worry. Rock is this? Is this Corporate Rock? Is this Nation Domination? Where are we?
This is when he's full-on babyface.
Yeah. He's a babyface in this one.
Yeah. And, so this is, I think this truly, in terms of popularity and mainstream popularity and all of that, even more so than today, this is the peak here.
Yeah, this is peak WWF Attitude Era. They had really, the wave had crested here, and 2000 was a good year, man.
It was, because 2000 was the year where the in-ring part finally caught up to all the sports entertainment, because in 98, 99, it was heavily slanted toward the sports entertainment.
Very, very shock jock, very, yeah. You know, just tabloid TV type of stuff. And, you know, like Rob said, because Kurt Angle's in his bag here.
Oh, now. I forgot about, like, Kurt Angle, yeah.
Kurt Angle has completely blossomed. And he's become this the legend. He's becoming the legend that we remember him being at this point.
Yeah.
So, all right. Like,
well,
I said,
just to set a little bit more, look across the street at WCW. Like, they were completely running out of gas at this point. What, 1999?
It was 2000.
Oh, yeah, okay. This was 2000. And so, WCW officially closed its doors in 2000. So.
Well, it was
a long time coming creatively and whatnot. At this point, while we're saying all these people in WWF are about to, you know, ascend, like, you look across the street and the NWO is completely out of gas. They've lost a lot of people to WWF, like, and the end is coming real quick.
And this is post Bash at the Beach, where Hogan walks out and Russo cuts a shoot promo on him on live paper. That's how that was the state of WCW in 2000.
Horrible, horrible.
So those of you people who always wanted to compare anything bad today to WCW 2000, in 2000 WCW, people were walking, Goldberg walked out of the pay-per-view match in the middle of the match. It was like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
The people who complain or who compare WWE current product to 2000 WCW, their birth year starts with two.
And even, look, with all the struggles AEW is going through right now, okay, call me
it when... It ain't that bad.
Call me when Will Ospreay walks out in the middle of a pay-per-view and says, fuck this shit, and walks out in the middle of a match, okay? Or call me when Tony Khan goes on live pay-per-view and cuts the shoot promo on CM Punk or something, okay?
Which he might actually... I wouldn't put that past him.
No, but
as far as I know, nobody in WCW ever feared for their life.
Oh yeah, but imagine if Tony Khan cut a shoot promo on CM Punk so bad that Punk sued him.
Yeah, yeah, it got ugly.
That's how bad the Russo thing was with Hogan. Hogan sued his ass. Okay, so please, you know,
miss us with all that stuff. All right, let's get into this, guys. Like I said, the Armageddon 2000 Season 2, Episode 1, timestamp 2 hours, 1 minute, 30 seconds. Guys, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, countdown in 5, 4, 3, 2, and go. All right, so they are lower in the cage, and this is the older Hell in the Cell, which I believe may have been a little bit wider.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I feel like this cage was wider than the current one. A lot of room to fight on the outside.
Lower the cage, hit the strobes. Don't
yep.
don't reinvent the wheel. They've just done it the same way for, what, 20 years?
Yeah. Painted it red. I think the only thing they've done with the more modern cage is that they've kind of carved out the mesh so that right. people with big feet could climb it. Oh, look at this guy. Triple H is the first one out. Looking like $1 million here. And the car crashes are kind of symbolic. All the busted up cars on the outside here.
I got to be honest with you guys. Like, might be my favorite, like, theme and entrance ever.
Triple H?
The game, specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, he just
there's something about it, man.
Oh, he tapped into something with the Motorhead and the water and the spit in the water and everything. Right. Just the whole thing was a total package.
But I mean, even the lights that are going on right now, like the multicolored nightclub lights, it's just so, it's awesome. But it's also brings me right back to the Attitude Era, obviously.
If you'd have told me in August of 2000 that this guy would be running the show 24 years later, I'd have said there's no fucking way in hell. And I didn't dislike him. Like, I liked Triple H. I was a fan. I always was, always have been. But I never in a million years would have foreseen that we'd be where we are in, you know, July of 2024 when I look back at August of 2020 or 2000. It's insane to me that I'm even saying those words. Here he comes.
Ready? He's parading around. Yeah. As you know, the WCW is in its death throes.
Yep.
20 years later, the next upstart at their first show blows up an image of him.
Yeah. Here comes because, Rikishi. Rikishi did it for The Rock. He did it for the people.
That's right.
Didn't do shit for the Bloodline.
Because they pulled, put him on TV. He's been trying.
Hey, God bless him. He's been trying. He's got storyline ideas. He's throwing down little Easter eggs that you could work into the story in about 2 seconds. He's playing along.
He's been officially unofficial creative for about 2 years now, Rikishi has.
Oh, yeah. Ever since the Twins really turned and got involved, you know, as Roman's cohorts. Yeah.
I still think we live in a timeline where we see Rikishi on TV one more time.
Yeah, I think I'm sure he wants to come in. And look, this is the window for him these next few months. I mean,
yeah. If you're going to do it, now's the time. I mean, hell, you could even bring Haku out because Haku still
Yeah, look, man, I want Haku to come out and give somebody the Tongan death grip just one time.
Yes.
Just one time.
Let him give somebody the Tongan death grip and let Rikishi give him the stink face and we can call it real. I'm good with both of those scenarios. So let me ask you, Rob, this is the belt that Kurt Angle has on now is an upgrade from the original Winged Eagle belt. What do you think of this design?
Okay.
Because Greg likes, this is Greg's favorite version of that belt. Okay. I prefer the original Winged Eagle.
Me too.
I think both of them are painfully overrated, but I do like this one because the Eagles' wings are just, like, out there.
Yeah. That belt looks good on Kurt Angle, though.
Oh, it does. Yeah, certain guys in this era, it just looks great on. But even still, the Winged Eagle's a little overrated, in my humble opinion.
And here we are. He's the American Badass.
Oh, man.
Yep, he is. He is full, ready, big evil. Dead Man Inc.
Yep.
Oh,
man.
I loved this evolution of this character.
It was needed at the time.
It fit the motif of the entire era, and he needed a freshen up, and yeah.
The whole motif is awesome. It's just so good.
And they always say the best gimmicks are you amped up to 11, and I believe this is pretty much him. Like, he's out there just being, you know, Mark.
Yeah.
He's just calling himself The Undertaker.
Yeah. This
looks like he had a lot of fun doing it. And he, you know, he committed to it. Like, he leaned all the way in on it.
Well, and exactly. Very cool for a guy who had to lean in on his gimmick more than most characters. You know, you couldn't take a week off as The Undertaker. Like, you know, where the game, you could take a week off where you're just, like, goofing around in the back or something like that. Like, less than DX shit. But Undertaker, you can't. This was his chance.
Yeah. Bike rider, you know, motorcyclist Undertaker, you can take a step back from here and there.
Here's this guy.
The Rock.
Oh, my monkey paw. There you are. I wanted this match for so long, and then, well, we're getting to it, but we're going to take a bumpy ride there.
Yeah. Cody cut an interview recently that said The Rock doesn't just have gas in the tank. He may have a whole tank.
No, man.
Well, don't let The Rock hear that.
No, because he'll try.
Uh-huh.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. This fucking guy.
And okay.
He's going right after Kurt Angle. We are off to the races.
There we go, baby.
And this is custom made for a guy like Austin, who's pretty much just punch and kick at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because he's all jacked up at this point, huh?
Yeah, he's got braces on both knees, and his neck is, you know, slowly deteriorating.
Yeah, because he had been out for like a whole year before he came back.
At this
point.
The only thing with this match is there's so much going on because these guys all break away. Is that the camera's trying to keep up with it all, and they, for what it's worth, they do a pretty good job, but it gets a little distracting in some spots.
Yeah.
Thank God, I don't think Kevin Dunn was fully in charge of cinematography here, because we would all have, like, seizures at this point.
Yeah.
This is one case where it was necessary, though.
Yeah, actually, I think Kevin Dunn was in charge of production at this point. So this is because you look at all the camera cuts. We're on the hard cam right now.
Not that guy for that long.
Kevin Dunn's been part of the production staff since the late 90s.
No,
I looked it back. I think he rose to prominence in like 96 or 97, I think, because I looked it up. Undertaker's strangling Kurt Angle with his headband or something.
Nice. It's nice for the kids. Goodness.
Rikishi going after The Rock. This is a blood feud.
Rikishi did it for The Rock.
He did. He did it for the people.
Yeah, he did it for The Rock, and he did it for the people. Not going to do it for the bloodline.
Rocky standing tall. Look at him. Nope, he's going out to whip that ass some more. Had enough of Rikishi's crap. Well, you can see in the cage, they've kind of got holes dug out for the climbing feet.
Rock was an athlete, man.
He was.
Before he started just, you know, taking high octane stuff.
Exactly. Before he got his power from a wizard.
He had
to do some of the high flying shit and stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot he did that flying shoulder block, and I was like, damn, he got up there.
Streamline Rocky could go.
Yeah, I forgot. Like,
that dude had energy for days.
Cause, the first time he came back against Cena, he was leaner, like he is here.
Yeah.
That in 2012, but then when they did the rematch in 2013, he went and he took all the IcoPro in between those.
Well, that's the one where he jacked himself up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He ended up tearing his abdominal muscles off. And
yeah, he tore like everything. He tore.
Twice in a lifetime and both ACLs.
Yeah. But it, Now, the first Rock Cena match was really good. The second one was kind of repetitive, and, you know.
Yeah.
I've actually seen that. I feel like that's one of those matches where everyone's like, yeah, we all know what we're doing here, so let's just do it. Jeez. Triple H also found all the Ico Pro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you go back and look at that guy as Jean-Paul Levesque in WCW, he's like half the size. And when he first came to WWE and he was going full-blown Hunter Hearst Helmsley gimmick, he was probably 40 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Michael Pro got shut down and probably all the warehouses just went to these guys' houses.
Probably. Triple H just backed the truck up to the back door.
Yeah, that, you know, that liquidation sale, they just, you know, everything was going.
Vince is like, all right, Hunter, here you go. Because that was Vince's baby, right? Ico Pro?
Yeah.
One of his bodybuilding ventures, obviously, and it had a sideways, you know, appeal for wrestling.
Yeah. And have y'all seen that clip? It was like the first ever WBF thing.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That was the most cocaine-addled.
Vince's bodybuilding thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen that. It, holy shit.
Fucking machine guns and flying throwers.
I come out with a machine gun and shoot like five ninjas.
Nobody wants to see competitive bodybuilding, pal.
Yeah, and then 10, 20, 30 years later, people are like, I had no idea he was a weirdo. Really?
Yeah. Right.
Are you sure?
So, something tells me the signs were already there. We're always there.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you'll never catch us defending the guy. We're just kind of like, yeah, man, you didn't know?
My defense of Vince McMahon starts to stops with his wrestling booking.
Exactly.
That is it, man.
His television program as presented to me on television.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I got to put that for you, man.
Anything else, he's on his own.
Right.
Undertaker wearing out Rikishi. Uh-oh. Here we go. I think we're going to see our first bleeder here. Triple H is getting raked across the mesh. Ugh. And I'll get you over here on this side so these guys can watch.
There we go.
Ugh.
Jesus. It can't tickle, man.
No, I can't imagine that feels good.
No.
You guys may be a little bit ahead of me. I've got a lag on my end.
Yeah, Steve walks like both knees are going to explode. I wonder why.
Hunter is busted wide open, and Austin's opening him up even more, and we're just going to grind that right back in there.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Because one of those NWA cage matches, David Crockett, you know, was on commentary, and one of the guys was, you know, doing that, raking the other guy across the cage. He was like, look at it, just like hamburger.
Yep.
It was like the funniest thing ever.
He's still grinding his head on that cage.
Woo.
And now he's dragging him around the cage.
14
what a rib. He's taking the full 360.
No, he's going to all four corners of the cage. Oh, man.
Oh, it's great. Jeez. He just went coast to coast with Triple H on the cage.
Right in there. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone even attempted a pinfall?
No.
No, Austin's just in there beating people up.
Yeah.
Ah, there's Rikishi with the leg.
Here we go. Right across the back of the skull, man.
Yeah.
Put a little ass on it, Kishi.
And so, yeah, so at this point, like, Austin had been out for a year.
Jeez.
Oh. Nope. Never trust the game.
Oh.
Oh, that's when he was still holding the arms for the pedigree. And The Rock barely makes the save here. I tell you what, in the first couple of years that Triple H was doing that pedigree, he was like nailing that thing, and I was trying to figure out how people were protecting their faces.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is they probably weren't.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Because I know I saw him do that on a couple of guys where he literally just kept the arms trapped the whole way down. I'm like, I don't think I ever want to take the pedigree from him. Got an Olympic slam on The Rock. Kurt Angle is just trying to escape with his life, let alone his title.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're getting spammed with the finishers.
Yeah.
Here we go. Stunners for everybody. And here we go.
Yep, here comes the choke slam. I'll give you one, sir. Oh. Undertaker shoots the half, goes for the cover. And The Rock with, no, that was Triple H with the save.
Yeah.
Jason, have you ever seen this?
I have not.
Ah, another one Jason hasn't seen. This is great.
Yeah.
At some point, Triple H has got to be sitting here thinking, all right, guys, when are you going to give me a little bit here?
Yeah.
Because he's just been bounced all over the place.
Man, I don't remember him taking bumps like this regularly.
Yeah, he's throwing himself into that cage, man.
Yeah, he is. He's working tonight. He put the working boots on.
Yeah. Oh, man. Long darn minute.
Boop.
That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable.
And Austin is the last man standing, waiting. Undertaker's in there, and now we've got the. Whoop.
No.
And Rikishi's at it again. Rikishi's got blood in his hair, and I don't think it's his.
Yeah.
Now, this.
What the hell?
I remember watching this going, why in the hell are they backing a hay truck?
Yeah.
Up to the cell.
I don't even remember.
Jesus, yeah, what the, Mary and Joseph. What are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, I mean, this is the same as, why is Brock coming to the ring with a tractor?
Right. Yeah, this is the, in 2000, this is the tractor moment. And actually, it's kind of explained here, I guess.
With endowed heavy machinery.
Yeah. I guess the Zamboni wasn't available, so Vince found the nearest hay truck.
Taking the door off the, that's what that was for?
Yeah. Never mind that the owner of the company could have just gone to the rep and said, unlock it.
Open the door. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Open the door and let me in. No, I'm going to get a truck and we're going to rip the damn thing off. This is hilarious. So I think Vince's idea was he was going to try and tear. There was a reason behind this. Vince didn't want somebody in the cage, so he was going to try and tear the cage down, I think, was the angle he was going with. Yeah, there was I forget the storyline reason why he didn't want a Hell in the Cell, but he promised to tear it down. And this is what we're doing here.
So what's the corporate structure of WWE like at this point where Vince can't just say, no, you can't have a Hell in a Cell?
Well, it's nuanced, I guess, because I knew Foley was involved in this somehow or another.
In kayfabe, who's running the show? Okay, is Foley running the show in kayfabe?
He may be, he may have been
It's Titantron, just said commish.
He's a commissioner, okay.
Okay.
I knew Foley was involved in this somehow, and I guess I just translated into me thinking he was in the match.
Yeah. Well, kicking McMahon out of there. He's getting them out of there.
And he's whipping Briscoe and Patterson's asses.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to Briscoe and Patterson, because their roles as the henchmen were great.
Was he the one of the? Is there a brand split at this point? No, there can't be.
No, this is way pre-brand split.
Yeah. Okay, so he's just the commissioner of the WWF?
He's just WWF commissioner at the time, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
So the action's starting to spill outside.
You go to jail.
Vince being escorted out by official, unofficial police.
Yeah.
The police is bleeding all over the fans.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, and they just reach out and touch him. Fuck it. Well, the man is busted wide open.
And Austin, coming to beat some more ass.
Yeah.
That's what you do, man. You get the blood on your hand, you smear it on your t-shirt, you take the t-shirt home, you never wash it again.
Seth Rollins is walking by with a busted forehead. You doing that?
No, because I work in healthcare and I know, I know a few things.
It's just nasty. It's nasty.
Yes, it's
rough. And I'm also a moderately intelligent human being. Like Rob said, it's just nasty.
However, the opportunity to take it home and clone your own Seth Rollins.
Now that's, because we may need another Seth Rollins in 20 years.
We may need another Seth Rollins in two with the way that I guess.
It's possible. Triple H is an MVP in this match, man. He is putting everybody over but himself.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of guys who need a vacation, it's going to be Triple H after this match, because he's literally just let everybody whoop his ass.
Oh, yeah. He's done nothing but take an ass whooping. He's hit one pedigree and thrown a couple of punches. Other than that, he's just been hamburger meat for the grinder.
Getting bounced off cars right now. He's getting, it's great.
Oh, we've got our next cut job.
Here we go.
Austin just went through the glass.
Oh, no, I'm a little behind you guys off the side.
Oh, I love the car crash setup out here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever they do this kind of gimmick, where just cars everywhere, the twisted metal kind of thing, I'm like, yes. I mean,
I forgot they had a live camera when he hit Triple H with that camera. It was live. Yeah, they don't have access to the Gerald Briscoe body shop anymore, so they can't do that.
Hey, nothing tweaks my little, hey, I want it to feel like a comic book than, beating people up in the ruins of a bunch of cars.
That screams Armageddon. It's very post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we've got at least two bleeders for sure, and I think Kurt Angle may be the third one, because he just went through a car window, I think.
Triple H doesn't know what planet he's on.
He does not. The Rock going up. Is he going to rock bottom him on this?
Oh,
here it is.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, he's fighting it.
Yeah.
Oh, low blow.
See? That's how you do it, Tongaloa. That's how you give a low blow while concussed.
Yes, all right. So Kurt Angle's cut his back open.
Good. Yeah.
And
I'm going to blame that one on Taker. Oh, God. Why would you do a pedigree on top? At least he let go of his arms.
Yeah. That's your golden boy moneymaker. You don't want to hurt that guy.
No.
Austin busted wide open. Now Rocky's bleeding. So we've got one, two, four bleeders. Undertaker and Rikishi have yet to be busted open. I honestly had forgotten how much of a bloodbath this was.
My God, there's no one in this industry who sells like Rock. The way he's selling those punches to the side of the head, like he's just like he has a mini, you know, seizure each time. Never change, man.
Oh my God.
Everyone beat this shit.
And I think we're only about halfway there.
Oh, yeah, God. So screwed.
It's rare that, like, these cell matches end up with people fighting outside.
Unless
they're not going to do, like, the climb up the cage gimmick, you know?
Oh.
Oh, Triple A.
Jesus.
Slingshot onto the hood of the car. Austin's falling all over the place. They're all cursing their boss's name right now for making them work this match.
Triple H is like, I'm just going to lay here and die if everybody doesn't mind.
That could have gone very wrong because Austin was so close to hitting his head on the bumper of that car.
Get up, Triple H. Get up. You have to lose this title to Roman Reigns in a couple of years at WrestleMania. Get up.
Radioactive. This match was crazy. I forgot how crazy this thing got. Oh, and the Undertaker's tattooing Kurt Angle with the microphone.
Oh, and he's choking him. And that's a murder.
Yeah.
I've seen 3 attempted murders and I think 1 success.
Remember, Jason, 3 weeks ago we treated you to Tully and Magnum yelling into the microphone and jabbing it really hard into each other's forehead.
That is true. All sorts of micro murder. Oh, we're finally getting back to the ring?
We're headed that way.
Yeah.
What the hell in a cell was not enough?
No. We needed a full Armageddon, post-apocalyptic junkyard match.
Yeah. Oof.
Oh, here comes one of those wicked...
Right to the head, man.
Wicked headshot, man.
Oh, come on.
Unprotected chair shots to the head. You gotta love it.
I think we've got our 5th bleeder. We do.
So the Taker's bleeding now. So we got Austin, Triple H, Taker, Rock of bleeding.
Rikishi is not, I don't believe.
Rikishi doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Austin's like, I ain't getting on top of that cage.
Nope. Won't climb up there with 2 bad knees.
Hell no. I'll never make it back down.
Oh, right, yeah. That's
I have to send the rescue squad up to get him. No, he's climbing it.
Nope. Don't do it, man. Oh, dear. Here we go. Why do we got to do this?
Wow, he went up.
He did. He's up there.
I get anxious, man.
This is always a great visual, seeing these guys fight on top of the show.
Yeah.
Have you ever actually seen it?
Always makes me nervous. What, Jason?
Have you ever actually seen it?
Like, live? No.
Yeah, I have. It's the most. It was one of the most traumatic experiences I've ever had. Like, no way, man, no way.
For whatever reason, like I've seen all the Hell in the Cell matches like ever, and I've seen everybody and their mother fighting on top of that thing. For whatever reason, the one that gave me the most anxiety was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. And I don't know why. Maybe it was just because I was just coming back into watching wrestling after taking time off, and it was just all kind of fresh again. But watching those two dudes at the top, knowing that both of them were crazy enough to do something stupid, gave me anxiety watching it.
I mean, DJ, how do you think I felt? I was there watching Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the one when Charlotte and Sasha.
Yes, sir.
Sasha, that crazy woman took a powerbomb off the cage wall through the announce table.
That was a crazy bump.
Yeah.
She did. We all in attendance thought she was no longer with us.
Yeah.
And then went on to take two wicked table spots where the table didn't break.
Yeah.
Table said, not going to work for me, brother.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You think you're going over in your hometown? You got another thing coming.
What's that saying when the table won't even work with Sasha?
Hey.
I shouldn't say stuff like that. That's inappropriate. I should stop. I'm actually a fan. I shouldn't be like that.
And everyone's, well, we can, you know, we can cause it like we seize it.
So we've got, what, 4 out of the 6 are up there now? Rocky's not up there, and Rikishi's not up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that roof was like extra reinforced.
Oh yeah, with those hosses up there.
Yeah, because the one where Mick went through the wall, went through the roof, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Nope.
And now, I mean, I think they're doing it here some similar way, but now you can even see it when they're up there. Like, you can see that there are two things of, possibly more things of, like, chain link up there.
Yeah.
So, and there, I feel like there's one even lower a little bit if God forbid, something does happen.
Yeah, something breaks through. Yeah.
They're just going to drop, like, 4.
Uh-oh, we've got problems.
Uh-oh.
Rocky and Rikishi are on their way up. The Samoans are making the climb.
Nope. Looks like Rocky's trying to stop old Rikishi here.
Oh! He's not getting...
Oh, no.
We've got a ringside person throwing The Undertaker a chair.
Who is that? Literally just like a WWE worker?
Yeah, he was just like a ringside crew member. Undertaker probably threatened him with his life. That's what I'm going with. Yeah. Oh, another unprotected headshot.
Oh, no!
There's blood on there's a big splat of blood on the chair.
We're going to do another one to take her here, aren't we?
Nah, he put his hand up on that one. He's like, I ain't doing that again.
Apropos of nothing on this show earlier, Chris Benoit defended his Intercontinental Championship.
And Rikishi's up here wearing people out. I remember watching Rikishi climb this cage originally. I'm like, that is an awful big dude to be up there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you.
Kurt Angle running for his life before Rikishi hits him with that chair. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Good. I'm out of here.
I've already taken one chair shot to the head. I ain't doing another one.
Oh.
Kurt Angle, look at Kurt's head. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yep. Rikishi doesn't need to get busted open.
Oh, God, because he's doing this bit.
Yeah.
I forgot about this. I have seen this on occasion.
This was fucking nerves of steel right here, man.
Bonkers.
Yeah, this is craziness. The timing on this is ridiculous because there's so little room for error here. Here it comes.
Oof.
Poof. And that's going to be it for Rikishi. Austin's looking around like, is he dead?
Rock, same thing.
11 different camera angles.
Incredible.
Yeah, I forgot how chaotic this match was. Austin and The Rock now.
Whoop. How many times in his career do you think that Dwayne Johnson has been in a Stone Cold Stunner and pushed someone into an Irish rope? Irish whip, excuse me.
Probably nearly every time.
I was going to say, like it's got to be in the thousands that he's pulled that particular move.
We're not going to see a people's elbow tonight, sir. Triple H says no.
Jesus.
Man, this was my guy when I was this young. If I had a WWF guy, which I didn't, but, you know, I'd dip in once in a while. And I'd love the video games. Triple H was always my dude.
Triple H was the guy. Whenever I did create a wrestler, I always gave him Triple H's entrance.
Nice.
Triple H's entrance, and everybody usually got the stunner until the F5 came along.
There you go.
The F5 was my favorite finisher for the longest time.
I usually did some sort of cutter or some sort of DDT.
Although I went through a little kick for a little while when Steve Regal was doing the power of the punch.
Yeah.
That was my finisher because it was just something to me that was hilarious about finishing guys off with a brass knuckles punch to the face.
That's great. Well, and Triple H stops the count. Excuse me, Austin. So no, yeah, Triple H stopped the count. Oh wait, Rock stopped the count. Who stopped the count there? I looked up.
I don't know. All I know is that there's three guys in the ring, and Kurt Angle's taking a nap.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, someone pinned Kurt, and then somebody stopped the count.
They're going for another stunner, which we hit this time. Rocky sells the bejeepers out of it.
Oh, all over.
Well, he's not going to get there in time, guys.
Yeah.
Nope. Triple H is going for it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and Angle, Angle barely draped the arm over.
Yep. Angle barely gets the pin.
That's awesome. That's amazing. That was amazing. I was like, does anybody see Kurt? What's he doing?
He's barely sneaking out of victory here with his life. The finish on this was great.
Yeah.
That was very, very good.
It was.
I did not see that coming. He just quietly sneaks over and just puts like a pinky on Rock's nipple. And the ref counted it, so there you go.
It is. It's a cover.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that was a great finish.
Yeah, and it was a good match, too. I mean, it was what it was. It was a car crash with a very awesome set to get out of the cell for, so they did.
And look, as crazy as it was, like, none of it looked like they were just doing shit for the sake of doing it.
No, it looked like, there were genuine feuds out there. Like, guys were out there feuding with each other in the middle of, you know, carrying on their stories in the middle of this match.
Yeah,
they were brawling, trying to hurt each other.
Yep. All right. Well, that is our first watch along. That was Armageddon 2000, six-man Hell in a Cell for the World Wrestling Federation World Heavyweight Championship. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got another match for you, a really good one. We're celebrating the Queen's in-ring anniversary this week, and Rob's picked out a special match for us. We're going to go to commercial. When we get back, we're going to get into that one. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check it out, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, everybody. We are back with our second of two watch-alongs here tonight. This was one of Rob's choice. I'm going to kick this one over to him and let him introduce this one here tonight.
All right, so 11 years ago this week was the television debut of the 14-time women's champion. And for those of you who listen to this show, you know this has been a kind of rough year for me because she has been out of action. She is my favorite woman wrestler. For those of you who are new to listening to us. And so since this is the anniversary of her television debut, since we're doing watch-alongs, I figured we got to do one with her. And so I picked this one. This is one of those matches that kind of has gotten lost in the, you know, ether, I guess, so to speak, because it's Charlotte versus Ember Moon. Ember is a what if, as far as her WWE career on the main roster, things just didn't pan out, unfortunately. But she's gone on to do really well for herself in Ring of Honor. So, you know, kudos to her for that. But, we do kind of wish we could have, gotten more than what we did. But this is one of the times where, she actually got to, show what she can do more on the main roster here.
Well, it must be said, we have to remind everyone that while, Ember has spread her wings and she's, soaring away, a vast majority of it has not happened on television, and we need to blame her current loss.
Yes, because she's, for the past year and a half, she's been doing the best work of her career. She's been doing some of the best work in women's wrestling, period. Mm-hmm. And it has been behind the paywall of Honor.
It's a tragedy. I really had high hopes for her in WWE. I was a really big fan of Ember Moon.
Yeah,
me too.
I dug the gimmick. I dug the whole presentation.
And
the Wastelander princess kind of like warrior girl. Like that's your ground floor is your SmackDown gimmick? All right, man. Or excuse me, your NXT gimmick, that's your ground floor? I'm in. Let's go.
Yep.
Because when she came out for the Supercard of Honor this year, she had like the full fucking battle axe.
And, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I saw pictures. I'm jealous that you got to see that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm just... But anyhow, okay, so if you're watching with us, the timestamp is 15 minutes and 18 seconds.
It's SmackDown from August 13th, 2019. That's season 21, episode
33. Yeah. All right, count us down, buddy.
All right, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go.
So this was like two nights after SummerSlam, actually.
Oh. Yeah. And we often point out with Charlotte that she's so much taller than the other girls that it almost looks unfair. And even though she is considerably taller than Ember, Ember's in such good shape that it hardly matters. Like, it doesn't look like a ridiculous mismatch.
Yeah.
No, and they both know how to move in such a way to, like, telegraph the gravity of that motion. Like, they're both really sure.
Well, and Ember was so seasoned. Even at this point, she was a seasoned indie vet. Yeah. So, she brought that in with her. And so this is, I haven't watched this match since the first time I saw it, but I remember it being excellent.
And see how they're fighting with the headlock there, not just sitting on it?
Yep.
Oh, Queenie's giving instructions. Colored contacts, always cool in professional wrestling. Always.
What's that? Colored contacts?
Colored contacts, yeah. Always cool in professional wrestling. If you ask me, as you as a professional wrestler, should have colored contacts, I will say yes. It's a matter of how fantastic you should go, but heck yeah, brighten those you know, beautiful eyes up.
Yeah, depending on the gimmick, it works.
Yeah, man.
Kane, Adam Bomb, Ember Moon, Rey Mysterio for a little while. Actually, I think Rey still does one contact in one eye, doesn't he?
Yeah, once in a while, I believe.
Yeah,
when Roman did the blue contacts?
Yeah. Because Rey tragically lost one eye in that match with Seth Rollins.
That's right. That's right. So we have a kayfabe prosthetic eye now.
Yep. So fun. Him and Aleister Black's commitment to that bit should be commended.
It is. I will never say a bad word about Malakai Black still working that gimmick.
No, look at this. Classic Queenie.
Yep, lured her in. That's all right. Ember had something for it. She had an answer.
Look at this guy. Screwing. Oh, man.
Charlotte's gear is one of my favorite ones of her gear. I like those colors on her.
Oh, the peacock?
The peacock colors. That was always my favorite gear for her.
Oh, and then...
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, Ember will always be one of those what-ifs for me for WWE. I was so into all of this that she was doing.
Yeah, man. Oh, God.
And I really had big hopes when they sent her back down to NXT and her and Shotzi had that tag team thing going. I'm like, all right, now they figured out, because they just on the main roster for whatever reason, she got injured, which didn't help.
Yeah.
And as we often say on this show, you get injured and you're out for a period of time, you lose your lane. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. Not many people are secured a spot. Their spot in the rotation is not guaranteed. But for, like, a couple of people at the very, very top.
Right. And unfortunately, for as short a time as Ember was on the main roster, she just didn't have that cachet.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, they sent her back to NXT. They retooled the gimmick a little bit, teamed her up with Shotzi, which was amazingly fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Shotzi got the call up, and then Ember was left hung out to dry and then released a short time later.
And the NXT Women's Champion, the ROH Women's Champion.
Hey.
For how long?
Over a year now.
She's currently injured again, though, isn't she?
I'm not sure, because they're playing it up like it's a work.
Like, yeah.
So I don't know if it's a work or not. And does anybody else even do the Boston Crab now?
I don't know that anybody actually does it. I think there's somebody, was it Andrade that does like a half crab or something?
Maybe. But yeah, I think Charlotte's one of the few people who actually does it regularly.
Bums. That's the setup. And one thing Charlotte does really well, better than a lot of the women, is lets a moment breathe. Like she's over here, she's working the leg, and then she looks to the crowd, she's like, look what I just did. Oh, headbutt. Yeah. I always pop for a good headbutt. That discus punch.
Yeah. Okay. And make sure to not use the bad leg to do all the kicks.
Yep. One thing, and again, she was selling the leg. If you watch when Ember went for that pin, she bridged, but then she pulled the bad leg up, selling the injury. I like that. I like that little detail. It's like she's bridging with both legs, and she's like, wait a minute, this leg's hurt. Let me pull this one out of the equation. And it even adds to the believability of the kick out from Charlotte.
Oh, what's that?
Codebreaker.
Dang.
I love catching little nuances and details in matches. I pop for that stuff. Oh, it's down. Ember's. Oh, she's going for it. Oop. Yeah, this is a really good sprint of a match.
Yeah.
There's some really good stuff going on here.
We got some stiff stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, these girls are laying them in. Oh, boot to the face.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Charlotte, going for it. We don't waste any time.
Oh.
Can Charlotte get the bridge? She's got it. And Ember snap it out.
There we go. Lightning quick.
Yeah.
It was about 8 minutes total.
Hey, that's, you know what? They squeezed a lot of stuff in 8 minutes, man.
Yeah.
For an opener match on SmackDown, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, for stuff like this, for these types of matches, 8 minutes is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For just like a straight match between two people who don't have any type of rivalry or anything.
Oh, at 8. You know, at 8:15 or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick 8 minutes. Let's go.
Yep.
Boys, girls, doesn't matter. Tag team, in and out in 8 minutes.
Yep. I think that's a good sweet spot. Yep. That was a good call, Rob.
Thank you.
Good job, Rob.
All right. Why don't we go to one more quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and wrap some things up. We're going to talk a little bit of Solo Sikoa. He, you know, obviously leading his version of the Bloodline now. Got a lot of people who feel a certain way about the trajectory of this particular faction, where it's going. And, you know.
Not my tribal chief.
He's not my tribal chief either. But we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Bloodline 2.0 and Solo Sikoa.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we're back with the last segment here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We're screaming, just hurtling straight into SummerSlam this year. Solo Sikoa's version of the Bloodline amping things up. Had a big win over Cody Rhodes and Trio just a couple of weeks ago. But the topic of discussion is how deserving is Solo Sikoa of this spot that he's been given? You know, and then a lot of people will point to his win-loss record and say, how is a guy who's gone 0-42 in the last 13 months in charge of a major faction? That's kind of the point, you knuckleheads, but that's a whole discussion for another day. I think Solo's he's good for what they're doing. Do I think he's a main event guy? Like, once in a while? Yeah, why not? You know, once in a while. He's tough. He's legit looking in the ring. I think you can throw him out there, and I think SummerSlam is the perfect place to do that. Like, I think with everything that we're, all the parts and pieces that are moving, I think SummerSlam is the perfect place for Solo Sikoa to main event. Rob, I'll kick it over to you first.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, like I said, I don't think, look, he's never going to be, like, the principal in a main event match. I don't think he's main eventing this because, you know, it's all bloodline stuff and whatnot. And, some people were not happy because this match with him and Cody is likely going to be the main event at SummerSlam. Yeah, I saw some people on the Twitter timeline who were not happy about that and all this kind of thing because, you know, because Solo's not very good, and, you know, okay. And like you said, he's perfectly fine for what they're doing here. I do think he's gotten down the talking part of all of this. And, you know, I remember he's usually been man a few words. And so, kind of the whole point of this whole thing he's doing is that he's a poser, right? He's the false king or whatever you want to call him or whatever, right? I mean, and so I think he's handling that part fine. And then the fact that the whole what's going on with the story here is that, you know, he kicked Jimmy out and, he went and because in his eyes, you know, the bloodline is supposed to, they're supposed to run everything all the time. And, you know, Jimmy and Jay lost the tag team belts last year. Roman loses this year. And so he's like, well, what the hell is going on here? Right. And so his thinking is, well, you know, we got to get back in charge here. So if the guys who were here, they weren't up to it anymore, then I need to get some other guys.
Well, and putting all that aside, we need to remember that in the storyline, Roman picked him over Jey Uso to be heir apparent to the Tribal Chief.
Oh, hold on. No.
Yes.
No, well, okay. I think it's going to come out in storyline because he picked a couple of people and he teased a couple of people and he mentioned a couple of people. It was Jay at one point. He dangled it in front of Jimmy like once. And then he was like, Solo was the heir apparent. That was just part of bad guy Roman Reigns manipulation. He never expected to give it away until he was, off on Sika's age. So I think that is a little overselling it. I think that's where, because Rob's right about one point. Solo's nailing this, guys, because he is not great at anything they ask him to do, but he's way better than I've expected him to be because I expected this configuration of the bloodline to be much like this. Yes, they're supposed to be a bunch of posers. Again, as Rob mentioned, that is the point. You idiots. So when Jimmy and Jay and Roman and Sammy come back, we go, yeah, that's the real bloodline. You know, them and the white guy. That's our bloodline. But I thought at this point, Solo would be doing it, but Paul would be doing all the heavy lifting. No, they have gone all in. They kicked, Paul went out in a blaze of glory. And Solo, for the promos and all that stuff, he's handled the boos. He's handled everything perfectly. Like, is it a Hall of Fame run? No. Do I expect him to be suddenly the main eventer after main event after main event? No. It serves a storyline purpose in the main event this time around. He's not, because I expect someone to come back. And that only happens in the main event. And then maybe he'll get another main event in his career. Who knows? That's a story for another day. But
right.
I guess he's hit the line perfect of, yes, guys, he isn't that good at this. He isn't Roman Reigns.
He's not supposed to be, but my point, but getting back to Roman naming him, because where I was going with this was, okay, yeah, he dangled the carrot in front of Jimmy. He dangled it in front of Jay. He dangled it in front of Solo. Solo took that personally. Solo's like, okay, and in Solo's head, he's like, yeah, I'm the next Tribal Chief. Jimmy didn't step up. Jay didn't step up. Jay got busted out. I busted out Jimmy. I'm the guy. In my head, Roman, and it in comes his down head, to Roman named him heir apparent, regardless of anybody else.
For your point, that feeds into the story because Jimmy was like, nah, man, I've seen these tricks before, eventually. And Jay was like, nah, man, I've seen these tricks before. And then Solo went, really? Boss? Me? I'll be the Tribal Chief? okay.
I'll do it since none of these guys will do it.
Right. And then saw Roman fail and went drunk with power.
And that's exactly my point.
And awesome. I had like, in this particular case, all right, sometimes you book the TV for the pay-per-view. Sometimes you book the pay-per-view for the TV. This SummerSlam card, they're booking the pay-per-view for the television. And the whole point, the whole point of the match, the whole point of this show even, is for the closing shot of Roman Reigns standing in the ring after all, you know, after whatever he does when he comes back. We don't know what he's going to do. But the whole point of this show, just like in 2020, is for the closing shot of Roman Reigns standing in the ring and Michael Cole going crazy, Roman Reigns is back! You know, that's the whole point of this.
I hope they have Michael Cole cameraed and mic'd all to hell, because his reactions have been golden lately.
Yeah.
I hope my wife has me cameraed and mic'd. Boys, I am going to go bananas if that guy actually does come back. Because I feel like maybe, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if he didn't. You know?
Well, I think everyone,
this is it, but I'm like, it wouldn't blow my mind.
No, but this
wins the Universal Championship, and that's it.
Well, here's what I think. Rob said that, you know, this pay-per-view or premium live event, Jesus Christ, is to build the TV. It's also sowing the seeds for Survivor Series. You know, think about Triple H's booking. He books long-term. He books months in advance. We're going to start sowing the seeds for Survivor Series and the four-on-four Bloodline versus Bloodline War Games match.
And look, this is a lot like, well, remember like last year's Survivor Series, they sold tickets because people thought CM Punk was coming back.
Yeah.
So they're selling tickets for the show. People are buying tickets to go there because they think Roman's coming back here.
They want to be there when Roman returns.
And so
they did leak it to the sheets this week. I saw all of a sudden. Because there was a plethora of reports of just like, oh, look, they watched the television show too. There's a bunch of – Roman Reigns is actually planning, you know, they're coming. He might be coming back at SummerSlam. And that's the first time I've seen it actually said out loud as aside from speculation.
Yeah.
So at the very least, there's some sort of smoke. Whether it's, again, like us, they also just watched the television show and are throwing darts into the dark, maybe.
But I'll say this is one of those where if he doesn't come back, people are going to, like when the people who review pay-per-views and premium live events, if he doesn't come back at the end, they're going to shit on this.
Oh, they will.
It doesn't matter how good the matches are. If there's no Roman Reigns at the end, people are going to shit on this show.
Even if Cody just beats him 1-2-3 after Bloodline shenanigans and everything.
The closing shot
show is Cody hanging up the Universal Championship and people are going to be booing.
The breathe heavies will be booing.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you got to.
And it's over. Like, yeah, obviously. Any configuration other than Cody wins, we're all smiling, whoa, at the end of the show, then I think the sweaties get mad unless Roman Reigns comes back.
Or just, look, if I bought a ticket, you know, if I, like I said, there are people buying tickets because they think Roman's going to be here. If I was one of those people and I bought a ticket for that and he didn't come out there, and if y'all asked me how was it, I'd be like, man, fuck this show.
All right. But again, we get back to, did they promise or tease or promote that? Like what they did with Rocky a couple years ago. Now I understand there's a crack in the door because they were teasing the tie-in with the latest Rock movie. Yeah. So it gave you the impression that he might actually be there, but at no point did they ever advertise him. Somebody mentioned The Rock and a movie tie-in, and the internet ran with it. But now The Rock is going to be there tonight because they were anticipating a Rock-Roman face-off 2 years prior to when it happened based on what they thought they saw on TV.
Yeah, but the difference is, the story, the kayfabe is all heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Pointing to Roman coming back. So there's no, I mean, yeah, we're fantasy booking a little bit ourselves, but they have led us in a direction, obviously, that Roman is going to come back.
No.
And we're looking at the calendar, and this is SummerSlam. That's usually the second biggest, most important show of the year. And so I don't think, I don't think this is one of those where we can tell people, well, they didn't promise you nothing. This isn't one of those. I mean, I think this is one.
Well, yeah, because the tea leaves are pointing to the fact that Roman should be there.
Yeah.
Hang on. The tea leaves aren't pointing that direction yet. I don't think we've been there. But I will say this. What if at the end of the show, instead of Roman Reigns coming back, it's Dwayne?
I think that would settle them enough.
That would be acceptable. They'll accept that.
Yeah. Because what if we're doing that shoe drops first? Dwayne comes back after Solo loses and says, fine, I'll do it myself, and beats the shit out of Cody Rhodes or whatever. And we find out that, you know.
I don't think.
Because I think we're saving Roman and Cody for somewhere down the line. Maybe Rumble.
I was going to say, I think like Roman has to beat Solo. You shouldn't have somebody else beat Solo first.
Yeah.
Because then if somebody else beats him first, then, you know, then
what's the point? Yeah. There may very well be some kind of fuck finish at the end of that match.
What if Roman just interferes and spears Solo instead of Cody?
I just think we're going to get 50 run-ins and all this stuff. And then Roman's going to come in. And I think, look, I know we always say they're going to do a DQ finish on this show and they never do it. But for the millionth time, this is the time to do it.
This is the match.
This is the time to do it.
You know why we can say it? Because we keep telling you opportunities that you can do it, and you never do it, so you haven't burnt it yet. So we can keep just saying, this is a good time to do it, and I will agree with my co-host. This is an excellent time for a fucking everyone runs in, it's just nonsense, and then we finally do get a DQ. And all hell breaks loose.
Nobody's going to care about the DQ if we get Roman at the end, or Dwayne, either one. Okay, if you get either one of those guys coming out of the end, nobody's going to care that the match ended in the DQ.
Because they're also going to go, yeah, it was Solo Sikoa.
Right, exactly. Like
it is what it is, guys. I'm not, as I just got done praising him, but it is what it
right.
is.
Right,
right. Like he's not winning the title. Okay, we know that.
No. We can do our in-depth SummerSlam analysis next week. But yeah, I think all in all, for what they're asking of Solo, he's hitting it out of the park. And I have no complaints.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, guys, you can call the go home there unless you guys have anything else you want to add tonight.
Last modicum of credit to Solo, I want to reiterate again. I thought he'd be doing this the whole time with Paul Heyman holding his hand. Now, he might very well be there backstage every week now as well. But no, dude, he's doing it all by himself. Well, with the other guys, but still.
Yep. All right. Well, let's call to go home and get out of here. And, guys, it's been a good show tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the watch along. We love doing those things when things slow down a little bit and we're kind of scrounging for content, which we were this we got down to the wire and we're like, what are we going to talk? We felt like Cody Rhodes. It's like, so what do we want to talk about? And there wasn't a lot to talk about. And Rob suggested a couple of watch-alongs. And here we are. It's been a fun show. Going to go back around and thank my co-hosts from the Rob the Genius podcast. Rob, good call tonight on the Charlotte match.
Thank you.
And Jason, sir, always a pleasure. Did we tear your guts up too much this week?
No, it was fine. It's just like, oh, man. I just want to thank them for what they do to their bodies. Like, it's ridiculous.
All right. And again, as always, I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Remember, always use your head. You can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week. All right. All right, I'm just going to cut in a little commercial thing there for the Chair Shot Network, and then we can just come right back in.
Write down your time step.
Oh, yeah, thank you. 1:01. 8:30.
Okay. There you go.
All right, hang on here. Damn, my pen broke. Like, it just the pen exploded in my hand. It was great.
Nobody like you, DJ.
Nope. You got to try real hard to be a screw up like me.
You're not even a screw up. It's just you don't screw much up. Just stuff around you just keeps exploding.
It literally just. I went to push and everything just all the guts of the pen just went everywhere. It was great. All right, let's get back in here now and we'll wrap this up.